Come thy fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace.
That's good.
I want to be consistent. I want to do all the things, but more than that, I want to do what he's asking. Everything you say, not just on a stage, but even to the people that you're leading, if it is not out of this word, is dangerous. I think sometimes we can want the spontaneity more than we want to honor what's going on in the room.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's so good to be back with you on this episode of Worship World Podcast. And today I have someone who I've just recently met. I'm still getting to know her. So we are going to be finding out about her together, you know. Her name is Kamoya Makwini, and she's an amazing lady from the little that I've gotten to know her. Mm. But I'm so honored that she would say yes to come on this podcast with me today. So, Kamoya, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
It's crazy.
The honor is mine.
Yeah. No, the honor is mine. Thank you. And like I said, you said yes without actually fully knowing what you were saying yes to. So that takes great faith. So that's only a woman of faith.
Amen. So yes.
All right. So before we go ahead, just for people who don't know who you are, would you mind just telling us a little bit about yourself? Who is Kamoya Makwini?
Who's Kamoya Makwini? Well, Kamoya Makwini is currently living in Ottawa, but I was actually born in Jamaica. I came here with my family. There's five of us. So my parents, my siblings. We came to Canada in 2001, and we came to Toronto. So we were just there for a little bit, and then they've lived in the GTA, so just outside of Toronto a bit. But in 2018, I actually moved to Ottawa to do my master's. It was 2 years, and finished during the pandemic, and was kind of figuring out if I was going to stay here or go back. And I was kind of back and forth for a little bit. And then the Lord in 2022 was like, yeah, you're gonna stay right here in Ottawa. And so that's been good. I've been able to kind of plant myself knowing that it's because God has asked me to be here. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I love my family. That's like something super, super important to me.
Yeah.
And I currently serve. I serve at Bethel. I do worship everywhere, but specifically with the youth ministry sanctuary. And we're in a season of transition even at the church. And so kind of stepping up in different roles as, you know, whether that's worship pastor role or just leading in different ways. And so it's a interesting and really good season. Change always comes with all the things, but God is also doing something new. So that's a little bit about me. I love to sing, love to play instruments, love people. I love people. I was just saying that I'm like an extrovert that loves her space. Like I do love my space. I do love quiet and all of those things, but people are really beautiful and people's stories are so complex. If I have like 5 minutes, we're going to chat. We're going to yap. that's me, I guess, in a nutshell.
That's good. Yeah, so you said you did your master's.
I did my master's in public policy.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, public policy and administration. Wow. And it's often really funny because I'm heavily involved in, you know, a lot of faith-based church spaces and doing a lot of worship, a lot of like creative spaces. Mm-hmm. And then people often ask my background, like, undergrad, political science, public policy. I love that stuff. And it's like, what? Why? How are you here? It's like, ask the Lord, But I loved the program. It was really great.
Yeah, you should be working with the government of Canada, so I'm like,
Help them
ship their policies.
Listen, and it's cool. I work in like an Indigenous policy space.
Oh, that's good.
Okay. Yeah, so it's beautiful in so many ways. But
all right, thank you for sharing that. So I know that obviously I've been snooping around on your Instagram, like, because I'm like, I gotta get to know who I'm gonna be speaking with.
Yeah.
So I think your handle is Songs and Stories.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What is behind that?
Yeah, good question. So honestly, if before 2022, you would be hard pressed to find me singing or talking or speaking on the internet. I've been involved in, I guess, within a faith context. Like I grew up, I always say church adjacent. You know, people say I grew up in church. Always been in a faith-based household, but never really like plugged in anywhere or like had a serious relationship with the Lord, at least what I would call serious. And so anyways, it was later on, I guess, end of high school, I started getting involved in church. We had moved and found this like love for using these gifts of music and all that stuff for the Lord, and was doing worship. I think started leading worship like, I don't know if I was like 15 or 16, in around there. But I never really publicly put myself out there, anything that I did, because like the honest answer is that I always struggled with this idea of putting out my gifts and confusing who gets the glory, right? So I don't think I was in a place where I could have handled that well, right? Mistaking likes for you and not like what's the actual purpose. I always wrestled with that. And it's not to say that if you put yourself out there or you, you know, have always been putting out music and stuff that it's bad. That's it's good. I just know for me. And so in 2022, a little bit before that, I really felt God teaching me, I guess convicting me about what it means to edify the church. And the parable that I always, it frustrates me so much with the talents, okay? Because I'm the guy that took the talent and said, I'm gonna hold this and be ready for you when you come, right? But just being able to steward things that he's given, like it's his, right? And so, yeah, unless you saw maybe a tagged thing on Facebook years ago, I wouldn't have been on there. And I only did it because the Lord said. Therefore, I only post or show up there as the Lord tells me. And again, like really just trying to focus this on him and not me. Like, I want to put in things in place to make sure that I don't confuse that. Other people, listen, put your name there, do all the things. I'm consuming the content, is you know? But for me, it's just important for me to be wise, right? And in what I put out there. So far as to go where like there were some times where I would want to post something and literally like Instagram would crash or there would be a glitch. And I'm sitting to myself, I'm like, why are you pressing so hard to post this? Like who, okay, right. He says to post. I want to be consistent. I want to do all the things, but more than that, I want to do what he's asking.
Gotcha.
Right. Yeah. So, that's a little bit behind that. And I'd be yapping on there in the comments anytime I feel like the Lord's like, yeah, say something in the captions. And
I think that's a good, really good posture to have, because Bible said whatever you do as unto the Lord, right? You know, I know that sometimes we could, because God sees our heart, he sees your motives, right? And even myself, sometimes I've had to go through my page and take some things down just because I know the motives behind it wasn't right. Why did I put that up?
Right.
And even before I press post right now, I'm asking myself, should I not? And like you said, no, because we could be so driven by likes and views that kind of drives everything we do. And I don't think that should be the case. And I think it's really good to have that posture, but also, like you said, you know, to also not be too inward looking.
Correct.
That you're not sharing nothing.
Because then low key it turns into like this disobedience thing. Right? Where the Lord is like, yes, I have given you those talents and you've done nothing with it. You know? And it's this excuse and then, I don't want it to be me. But then also low key, you're just a little timid and apprehensive to share what God is doing.
Yeah.
You know? Are you really standing 10 toes deep in the things that you believe?
Yeah.
It's very easy, especially like the church that in the GTA that my family attends, like, you know, it's not this big church or anything. It's what most churches actually look like, right? It's a medium, small size church, and you can talk and say and lead in that space. And sometimes it gets comfortable. Like, I'm right here. These people know, you know, I can be passionate for the Lord. And but it's just in this very comfortable space, right? I was like, I don't want to be disobedient.
Because when the Bible said, let your light shine before all men, right?
Correct.
So, it didn't say God would shine the light for you. You got to let it shine.
And I think there is something that I'm learning about, I guess, the balance between being hidden and shining your light.
Ooh.
So, like, I think sometimes God is asking you to go out and it's important to be obedient. But as soon as he tells you, hey, retreat, or as soon as he pulls you back, like, you also have to be just as obedient in both ways, right?
So
sometimes there's periods where, you know, some people, I guess if we're talking like social media, it would seem wild to retreat and pull back and not be posting. But if the Lord is asking you, there's something that he wants to cultivate or do or refine in you that shouldn't be out there, right? You shouldn't be doing that on that public platform. And so there's also this beauty of, I'm going to just sit here until he says. And when he says, I'll go. I'll run.
Yeah, because that could become an idol. Right? Hey. You could replace God easily, right? Like you said, the light sometimes is very good. Like, you know, you get used to it. You make an idol out of it. And now you can't do without posting. And then it starts affecting who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not really looking for the affirmation. And now it's almost like, God is no longer enough.
God is no... Get me out of there.
Okay. This is going to be a good episode. But I think we need to really guard our heart. Mm. Like, you know, like you said, if God said don't post, would you obey that?
Would you?
And I think that's the question, right? Mm-hmm. Would you obey that knowing that you may mess up your statistics and your numbers if you don't post for 3 days?
Right.
But if that's what the Lord is telling you to do, would you obey that? And I think that's where we need to get to that, you know what? God is still above everything else. And if he says post, I'll post. If he says don't, you don't.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And also, like, So the reason I said is because I think with the public platform or social media, it's very easy to only show up seeking after the Lord in those public spaces. Mm-hmm. So when the Lord says post and have a public platform, do it. Awesome. Mm-hmm. But your community, the people in your life that are keeping you accountable, you're learning, you're all these things, like you're not seeking revelation just to post it. Mm. It's like you and the Lord, and he will speak and he will cultivate and he'll learn and all of that. The public, that's just the excess, you know? Like, it shouldn't be this space where you're finding things out about, you know what I mean? About the Lord, or like, I'm only opening my Bible when I have to go on my page or I need to post something. So like, let me see, what is Colossians 3? Okay, everything is onto the Lord. Okay, that's a good post. Yeah, yeah. It's like, you know, that's...
But do you read your Bible if you don't have to post? I think that's the question, right? Yeah, okay. All right, anyway. I think we're getting ahead of ourselves. Let's backtrack.
Bring it back.
Okay, since this is a worship podcast, and I've done this to everybody that comes on this, you have to tell me three of your all-time favorite worship songs. I know it's very hard to do.
It's stress.
But
stress.
And you have to sing a line or two of each of them. So, go.
Listen, that is really hard. That is really hard. That's so hard. Also, I be listening to songs on every range. I'm like, okay, but all-time favorite on what basis?
Like, I mean, okay, it could be a childhood worship song.
Okay.
It could be.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Meaning, things, I have some that are like, these have great meaning, okay?
Yeah, okay, that's good too, yeah.
Okay, so like, I would say, in terms of like hymns, I love Come That I Found.
Okay, yeah.
That one... Yeah. Yeah, it's so much of it, like, prone to wander, though. Lord, you know what I mean?
You gotta sing it, though. Because people might not know the song. So
right, okay. So, Come thy fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace.
That's good.
Streams of mercy.
Yeah.
That's good?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, people can,
You got it.
You can shazam that one.
You got it. Okay, anything that Ron... You know Ron Canole is?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, praise God. Listen, one thing about me, I love me some Ron Canole. That man of God. You couldn't also tell me he wasn't a Jamaican, because the way they played that music, I was like, he's a Jamaican man.
Yeah, he has some Jamaican influence in his life.
He's not. Yeah, like, what is even the name of it? But he sang this song, everybody put your hands together and let's praise the Lord. Everybody put your hands together and let's praise the Lord. On the earth is his, the seas are his, the lands are his, our hands are his. So put your hands together and let's praise the Lord. Come on, yeah. you better get the harmony. I heard it.
I love that one.
Listen. First of all, everything that man writes.
It's right. The there. Word. It's right there.
Anyways.
It's from the book.
Okay, and then Stephanie Gretzinger. Really admire her heart for worship. She sings a song called You Know Me. Okay. That song got me all the way up. How does that bridge go? Yeah. And nothing is hidden from your sight. Wherever I go, you find me.
Oh, wow.
You know every detail of my life. And you are God. And you don't miss a thing. Yeah. So good. Well,
she can sing, y'all. She really can.
I said, nothing is hidden from your side.
Oh, that's so good. Thank you for sharing those with us. That's so good. Well, so, okay, let me ask you, what does worship mean to you?
What does worship mean? I think there's two aspects of worship.
Okay,
if I were to break it down, I'd put it in two things. The first is the heart posture, and the second is sacrifice. We hear a lot about David. David was a worshiper, right? David wasn't a worshiper because he sang and because he had his harp or his instrument. He was a worshiper because his heart was after the Lord. Like Psalm 51, that's the psalm that he writes after he does all the stuff with Bathsheba and he goes crazy and he sits down and he says, you know, create in me a clean heart, and he repents unto the Lord and he says, it's only unto you that I have sinned, not Bathsheba, not her husband, it's to you that I have sinned. And he says, I know there's going to be punishment, I know there's going to be all of those things, but don't leave me. I don't want to be outside of your presence. Because his heart was, Lord, I love you. I made mistakes. I've done wrong. I've done all these things. Yes. But the one thing I don't want to get wrong is being with you.
Yes.
He loved the Lord. And so everything that he did was worship because of that. The way he showed up, how he served Saul before, like he was worshiping, how he was out in the field, how he was even to the Philistines. There was this moment where he was helping out. You know, like his heart was, no, I love you, Lord. And so everything that he did, he worshiped, not just when he sang. So that's that piece. But then sacrifice, right? Like last couple months I've been ruminating on this idea of priests in the Old Testament, right? So they'd get up every day, every morning, every night, they had to sacrifice a lamb every single day. And they'd get up and they'd take the lamb and they'd kill it. And it's like, sounds morbid and bloody, but they'd, you know, slice the neck. Every day, the word said, they'd have to get up and make a sacrifice. And that was pleasing unto the Lord. That was worship unto the Lord. But the crazy thing about it is that worship, something had to die. Okay.
Yes.
Every time something had to die. There was a sacrifice. There was a cost to it. To me, like a lot of times when we say worship, how it's operationalized, right? Like there's something significant about instruments and singing, right? The word talks about it so many times. Something different about it, yes. But the reason why I can worship when, you know, I'm on a hospitality team or I'm an usher or when I show up at work and it's not inside of a church is because something is dying. I have to die to myself, die to my flesh. I'm doing it because my heart loves the Lord. And so all things can be worship. All things can be unto the Lord, you know? So I would say those are the two things when I think of defining worship, you know?
So I heard you say it's pretty much life. Life itself, like everything, like David did everything as worship pretty much. And then is that piece that something has to die, you know, like there's going to be death.
Yeah.
And that's why the Bible says, offer up yourself as a living sacrifice. Mm-hmm. You know, sacrifice is a dead thing, but you're still living. And it calls out your spiritual act of worship.
Listen, daily things gotta die, babes.
And if I feel like if there is no death, there's no, it can't be worship. Even death to self. Because you can't, someone said, you can't worship God and still have have yourself in the mix. You gotta get out of the way. You see that? That's what worship is. It's almost like you're throwing the weight of everything on someone else.
Correct.
Or something else.
You're quite literally taking your crown down, right? And I think the challenge, especially with worship with regards to music and instruments and anything that has a stage, those crowns are heavy, okay? They're very heavy. And they're visible. Yes. So for me to take the crown off, people are seeing me take the crown off and being like humble. Second, the crown is heavy. I want it to stay on me. I want to hold on to it. I have to die to that. I have to lay it down before him, like consistently. And it can be hard. it can be really hard. But then if it doesn't cost you, it's not worth it. You know what I mean? It actually is not worth it. The things that are worth the most are the things that will cost you, you know? So yeah, there has to be death. Sounds so morbid, but it's true.
Yeah.
You know?
So I believe you have to be called into the ministry of worship. I mean, as a believer, you know, you can worship at home, but when it comes to leading people in worship, and I believe it's a ministry that you have to be called into.
Yeah.
Because like you said, there is a weight, there's a responsibility that comes with that.
Yeah.
And I don't believe it's for everybody.
Yeah.
And there's also a level of consecration that requires for the office.
Yeah.
I know it's not one of the fivefold ministry, I get that. But I also believe that, you know, we cannot trivialize the ministry of worship.
Yeah.
In the Old Testament, there was a requirement for you to even be a priest.
Yeah.
To be able to minister unto the Lord. There is a requirement. It's just not for everybody. Not everybody can do that. So I guess my question to you is, when did you feel called into the ministry of worship? Was there a time that you knew that, okay, God is calling me into this space to not just worship him, but also to lead others to worship him through songs and through, I know you play the guitar as well and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think I've always been someone that, like, I love music. I love the arts. I love all the things. I didn't, from a small kid, I wasn't necessarily operating in those in church. But I remember, I guess, end of high school, 15, 16, 17, when I started and was exposed to this idea of worship in a church. And I remember there being a moment where two things happened, where I was attracted, like when we visited the church, I had walked in and it was like a youth Sunday and they were and I said, you will see me. I will come back, because that was amazing. And I came back and I was in this position where they're like, oh yeah, yeah, she can sing. Okay, have her sing there. And it was almost like there was an alignment where, yes, I loved singing and I loved doing all these things. But the moment where it was for the Lord, it was like, oh, this is different. There's something different here. And I was, you know, I'm very grateful to have had people and mentors in my life who kind of took me under their wing to walk through what this looks like. But I don't know how to explain it other than there was this realization that I was created to do this, right? This was the reason why the Lord had even given me those gifts in the first place. And then the second thing was, that was the first, in worship and in singing and leading in that way, it was the first time I'd ever really been convicted of something. Yeah. And I remember singing this song. It's called You Won't Relent. It's like this Hillsong song. And I remember singing it. The verses are, they go, I set you as a seal upon my arm, as upon my heart, a seal upon my arm. And this idea that, like, I'm doing this for real. I'm walking with you. When people look around, they will see that I carry you. I was singing. And I had the thought of, like, wait. You're singing this, but yet you're leaving here and your life doesn't reflect this. You're still walking and struggling and not submitting to me. And so I went home. I remember I went home that night. And I was like, okay, God, we're going to do this for real. We're going to do this for real. If you are who you say you are, and I feel this tugging that's different than just, oh, yeah, I like to sing. Feel like this tugging that's different. Let's work out my salvation with fear and trembling. Let's do this for real. And so I think that led me into this idea of, okay, what does it actually mean, this idea of being hidden, right? Like hiding in this space and learning and figuring out with God, not jumping out and saying, yeah, I'm a worship leader. I'm a worship this and that. It was not immediate. The Lord was doing things in me. And so, I think as the years went on, I realized that as I was leading worship and singing and leading other people, that there was a, and I'm not, I want to be careful here because it's not necessarily about me, but there was something that was happening where even as the words were coming out of my mouth, I felt as though it was like, something was happening in the room wherein these became like things that I was praying over the people in the room. Wow. You know what I mean? So like, it wasn't just chains be broken, lies are healed. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just a song. It was chains are breaking. Like you're declaring something. Like there's a prophetic declaration happening. Yes. And I remember feeling that so strongly and being like, hey, Lord, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Like, this is not just, I'm not just here because it's fun, you know? I'm not just here because leadership is cool and fun to me. Yeah. Like there is a weight here, right? Mm-hmm. That I don't know if, you know, I don't want to go ahead of the time. And so I think the Lord has revealed to me in many ways, not just through people, but also through his word of like the responsibility and the weight of leading worship. I think the last 3-4 years have completely shifted the way in which I lead worship because of the way in which I see the word, the way in which I see him, that he is holy, for real. Mm-hmm. And the more that I have stepped into that, the more I've actually been like, wow, Lord, I will only do this if you're asking me. I don't actually want to do this unless you're asking me, you know, because I'm seeing that this call comes with so much weight. Yeah.
Yes.
So much weight. And so all this to say is I don't know if there's people who have those moments where they're sitting and the Lord is like, yeah, you're called to go. Mm-hmm. I think the Lord has been in his kindness and in his grace revealed things to me over the years and has been so patient, like so patient with me. Mm-hmm. And he has protected me and shielded me in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know if that answered the question.
It actually does because I'm even glad that you talked about the fact that, you know, when you understand the full weight and the responsibility, you also, sometimes you don't want to do it.
You don't want to do it. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you. This is why, get in your word, okay? Get in your word. I've said this so many times. If you've been on a team with me, like, just close your ears because you've heard this many times. But get in your word. Get in the Old Testament, okay? The story that shakes me every time, Leviticus chapter 10. Aaron, Moses just, he came down, he heard from the Lord, all this stuff there. The Lord has given him instructions for how to live with him. The Lord wanted proximity. He wanted to show up, right? Mm-hmm. He wanted to be with his people, but he can't be where sin is. And so he gives them all these things. And then he anoints the priest. You have to have, like, you have to be anointed to carry this thing. Yeah. Okay. Aaron's sons are anointed to do this. They're in the line, right? They just finished being blessed. All this stuff is beautiful. Then these guys go and they bring an offering that was not pleasing. We don't know the details of what happened, right? But it wasn't how or what God asked for. And literally immediately they died. Immediately on the spot. Aaron's own sons. Aaron, like, this is big shot guy, okay? Moses, then Aaron, okay? His sons died. Why? They sought the Lord and the Lord said, for those that come before me, I must be regarded as holy.
Yes.
Must. And no then condition. It literally says Aaron held his peace. He said, you know what? Bet, you're right. Mm-hmm. You are holy. And you deserve, I don't want to be doing something if I don't recognize the holiness of him. Because the weight is crazy. Yes. It is crazy. They literally died instantaneously. And like, because people are not dying instantaneously, we think, oh, yeah, yeah, we could just walk in. Because we have the Holy Spirit and that's awesome. I can enter. People like had to, this is the holies of holies. And we forget that. We forget it. I don't want to do it unless I recognize how holy he is. I recognize the weight that comes with it. I don't want to casually walk into this thing. His son said, oh, yeah, we can do it.
Yeah.
Easy offering.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that.
Yeah. And I think you're touching a very good point because God doesn't strike us dead anymore like he used to do back in the day. And sometimes we forget the cost of worship. Mm-hmm. You know, we forget how much it costs back then to even worship. Mm-hmm. And like you said, God is holy. And I mean, David made the same mistake when they were trying to bring back the Ark of the Covenant. Mm-hmm. They dressed it all up. Mm-hmm. They put it on a cart.
All the things.
And they did everything right.
All the things.
And guess what happened? You know, the thing was stumbling and somebody died because they had a good intention. They were just trying to help. The guy didn't want to do anything wrong. He was just trying to help this thing. Like, I don't want this thing to fall down. And he died because of that. There is a protocol. There is a way he expects this thing to be carried. Mm-hmm. You know, it's meant to be carried on the shoulders of the Levites, not put on the cart. So it doesn't matter how we dress things up.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful to God for the advancement and all the technological stuff.
So good.
Those are good, but we can dress it up all we want. Mm-hmm. It still says, I want to worship from true worshipers in spirit and in truth. Mm-hmm. And like you alluded to, our lifestyle matters. The life we live matters. Mm-hmm. And as worshipers, we cannot live a different way and then declare something else on the pulpit or on the stage. And I think it's so mad that we remind ourselves to have the holy fear of God. He is God.
Please. That's why I'm saying. I'm not saying that you don't see it in the New Testament, but go back to the Old Testament. Because it's crazy how the spirit of, like, he wanted to show up manifesting himself. He manifests himself in different ways now. But you saw this reverence where it was like, man, people either died, something happened immediately. The amount of obedience, these prophets, they came and they were like, no, guys, this is going to get bad. You got to turn away now. Like, there was a seriousness to it. And listen, I can kiki. I laugh. I love the joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm going to jump and I'm going to all those things. But he is holy. That is a truth that cannot be shifted no matter how far 2025, 2035, 20, he will always be holy. You know?
There is a scripture in Psalms 24. I always said that. Even though it's in the Old Testament, it's still very valid. It says that who may come to the hill of the Lord or who may stand in his holy place, he that has clean hands pure heart. Those are still the requirement to come before him.
Mm-hmm. And that's why every day, Psalm 51, created me a clean heart. Please. Because it's so easy. We are flesh, okay?
Yeah, and I think there is... there is a measure of God we will not experience. There's a glory of God we will not see unless we prioritize. Mm. Like, we have this holy fear.
Yeah.
We prioritize a life consecrated, a life that is devoted to pleasing him, a life that reflects that clean hands and pure heart.
Yeah.
Because those are still, you know, even the New Testament said, be ye holy. Mm. As I am holy, you know. Yeah. And I think we shouldn't forget that even as people in the worship ministry. Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate you being here.
Yeah.
And to everyone listening and watching this, thank you for being a part of this. We really hope you find it helpful one way or the other. And if it was helpful to you, make sure you share it with somebody else. You never know. It might also be helpful to them. Make sure you like, you share, you subscribe, and you follow us on our pages. And until next time, keep singing, keep worshiping, keep loving Jesus. Keep doing whatever you do. as unto the Lord. For it's of the Lord that we receive the reward. God bless you. See you next time. Bye-bye.